Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Last night, our brother Tim spoke about this three-part parable in Luke chapter 15. And you might have noticed that he didn't finish the parable. And halfway through his message, I said, "Lord, please make him stop there." And he did. Because tonight I want to continue where our brother stopped last night, because we didn't look at the older brother. And I know that tonight there are those here who are just like the older brother. That doesn't mean that I mean that you're the oldest son in the household, but I mean that you have the exact same behavior. I was like that. Now, before we go to look into that, let's read those verses in Luke chapter 15. So we've heard yesterday that the prodigal or the wasteful son returned home and was restored. And then in verse 25, we read about the older son, the older brother. He was in the field, and as coming up, he drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. And having called one of the servants, he inquired what these things might be. And he said to him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and well." And he became angry and would not go in. And his father went out and besought him, pleaded with him. But he, answering, said to his father, "Behold, so many years I served thee, and never have I transgressed the commandment of thine. And to me hast thou never given a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son, who has devoured thy substance with harlots, is come, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." But he, the father, said to him, "Child, thou art always with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was right to make merry and rejoice, because this thy brother was dead and has come to life again, and was lost and has been found." And that's where the story ends. We never read that this brother goes into the house. This brother thought that he was all right. "I've always done what you asked me to do. I've always said, I've always worked as you would like me to do it. I've always been doing okay." But this other one, you know, the one that didn't obey, you're celebrating for him. You know what that older brother is? He's a picture of those of you who think they do not need the Lord Jesus. You do not need him because you're all right, because you're a good child. I was like that. For many years, I thought I could do without Christ because I was a nice dude. And I had to learn, I had to realize that I was just like this older brother. I have a couple of younger brothers, but the one that came right after me, boy, he was something else. He was in trouble in school, and I looked down upon him and said, "Well, he needs salvation. But I am all right." And I know there are those here tonight, sitting in the first rows, or the sisters, or, no, not sisters, the young ladies at the back, thinking you're all right, thinking you've come to this conference to have a good time with your friends. That's what this brother wanted, this older son. He wanted a good time with his friends, not with his father, not with his younger brother, but he wanted stuff for himself. I was so happy that both Brother Tony and Brother Simon asked you to switch off your mobile phones, cell phones here. Save me from doing that. Because they're a distraction. And I've seen in previous meetings that there are those who do not pay attention because they think they're all right. Maybe you are one of those who think, I'm all right. I'm here to have a good time with my friends. But you know what? The father was in the house. The younger son was in the house. But you are not. You know what the consequence of that is? Eternal damnation. In the adult Bible studies, we have been looking at the Lamb of God. And I just want to very briefly go to a passage that we looked at yesterday. Yesterday, we looked at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we have the Passover. I'm only going to read one verse, not just now, in a moment. God gives the instruction to Israel to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month. And God says to Israel, you keep that until the 14th day of the month. So how many days is that? 4. How many nights have you heard the gospel? 3. Sunday, Lord's Day, Monday, Tuesday. Today is the 4th time. What is going to happen on the 14th? So the 4th day that this lamb is in the house. Father is going to go to the kitchen and get the biggest knife out, go to that lamb and kill it. Why? Because that lamb had to die in order that the older son might live. Okay? The lamb would die so that the oldest son in the household would live. Now, where was the older son in Luke chapter 15? He was outside. Now, let's read one verse in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. The end of the verse says, in this night, where God is going to check the houses, you know, they had to apply the blood on the lintel and the doorposts, and God was going to go through the land of Egypt, where they were, and see if the blood was there. And then God says in verse 22, the end of the verse, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. In other words, the only place that you are safe, oldest son, is in the house. If you are outside, you are not safe. And the application tonight is, if you're outside, you are not saved. You are without Christ. He died because the lamb that was killed is Christ, our Passover. Paul explains that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He died so that we do not have to die. Because the Bible tells us that hell is the second death and lasts for all eternity. So the choice is very simple. The choice is, where do you want to spend eternity? All of us, by nature, are outside the house. All of us, when we were born, were without God, on our way to hell, on our way to a Christless eternity. And I know there are those in the room tonight who are still on that road. I know that. The question is, where do you want to spend eternity? We have sung about the time that we will be with the Lord. We will see Him as He is. We will be in glory. The alternative is, you are in hell, where not only things are very painful, but you're in the company of Satan and his angels. That's how simple it is. But the Lord Jesus does not want you to go there. And that is why he came down here on earth about 2,000 years ago, and he went to the cross. And this is what we've been thinking about today in our adult Bible studies in Isaiah chapter 53. We have seen how he came down from glory's highest height, from a glory that we cannot understand. And he came down, became a man. And he became a man so that he could die. And we have seen how much he suffered from the hand of the people who lived on earth back then. But we have especially seen how much he suffered from the hand of a holy and a righteous God, because God had laid our sins upon him. Jehovah, or the Lord, laid upon him the iniquity, the sins of us all. In verse 10 of the same chapter it says, "And it pleased the Lord, it pleased God to bruise him." Now why would it please God to bruise his own son? It doesn't mean that he was happy to punish him, but he was happy to allow that to happen so that you would not have to go to a Christless eternity. So that you would not have to spend eternity without him. That's the simple message. The simple message is, he came. Let's just go and read from Isaiah chapter 53. Three verses. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. Tonight I don't want to say he was wounded for your transgressions. Then it says, he was bruised for your iniquities, for your wrong deeds, for your filthiness. And the punishment, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So in order that you would have peace, he was punished. And with his stripes, you can be healed. But you need to go to him and accept him as your Savior. Verse 6, Isaiah says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Isaiah doesn't say some of us. He doesn't say most of us. Our brother Simon had three requests. One applied to 25%, one applied to 75%, and one applied to everyone in the room. Well, this statement in verse 6 applies to everyone in the room. All of us have sinned. You can think that you're doing all right, like the older son. And you can think that you're not in need of a Savior. But Isaiah tells us here, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. In other words, there is no exception. You might think that you're doing all right, but God sees it differently. You might pretend that you are a Christian, but God knows what is going on in your heart. God knows when you're not a Christian, when you're not a believer, because he knows what is in your heart. We have turned everyone to his or her own way. There is no exception. Every one of us, by nature, how we were born, wants to do what he, she, what you like to do. But then we get to verse 7. In verse 6, we are the sheep. In verse 7, we read about the Lord Jesus as the sheep. Remember, I said earlier, he came down as a man. He became like us, only without sin. And when he was here, when he had gone to the cross, he was oppressed, verse 7. He was afflicted. God's judgment came upon him. God's judgment not for his sins, but for your sins. It was for you that he suffered. It was for you that ultimately he had to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And those of us who believe, who've accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they know why. But I know there are those in the room tonight who do not know why, who think they are all right. But without the Lord Jesus, you are on a way, on your way to hell. You are on your way to damnation. Our brother Simon said in his introduction, yet you do not know whether you will live tomorrow. Now think back of what we read or thought of in Exodus chapter 12. That night, it says somewhat later in the chapter, that night there was not one house in Egypt where there was not one dead. Death was inevitable. The New Testament tells us that it is set for all men once to die. There is no escape to that. Death will come. But the verse continues. And it then continues that after death, judgment. And that judgment, you will need eternity for to bear that. There is no early release. You know, in Holland they have issues with lack of prisons. So when some inmates have been in prison long enough, say, you go, make room for someone else. It doesn't work like that with hell. It's forever. And there is no one here who knows and who will understand how long forever really is. You know, the oldest person in the room, I would estimate, is less than 100 years old. Well, 100 years is nothing in the light of eternity. Nothing. And imagine being in a lake of fire for 100 years. It would be terrible. But it's not enough to pay for the judgment for your sins. Eternity. That's what you need. But we have sung of a different eternity. Because Isaiah continues with the story and says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, it pleased the Lord to bruise his son, because he wanted his son to share his future with his children. He wants you to be with him in heaven. More correctly, he wants you to be with him in the Father's house. John 14 tells us that the Lord Jesus said to the disciples that he was going to prepare a place. And when I've prepared a place, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. When is that going to happen? No one knows exactly. But the Bible tells us it is soon. It could be today. It could be in the next 10 seconds that then, and we're gone. But not all of you. And if you're left behind, you know what's next. An eternity without God. An eternity outside the home. Outside the Father's house. An eternity where you will realize that you've made the biggest mistake of your life. Most of you have been here for 4 nights. Most of you have heard for 4 nights that it is time to turn your life around. That it is time to surrender. One brother prayed, you know, before we have this gospel meeting, every night there is a prayer meeting. In other words, we have been praying for you. And one brother said, tonight is the most important meeting of the day. Why is that? Because your soul is precious. Precious in the eyes of the Lord. Because he does not want that any should perish. He wants all of us to be saved. And if the Lord Jesus would come in the next 10 seconds, this room, he wants to be empty. But there are those in this room who think they're all right, who think they do not need the Lord Jesus. Well, you're wrong, because we have read that all, every one of us have chosen our own pathways, and we cannot make it to heaven by ourselves. There is only one way. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Remember I said that death comes for everyone? There is a way out. That's the Lord Jesus. He is the life. And instead of suffering eternal death, he wants you to enjoy eternal life. But in order to enjoy eternal life, there is one thing you need to do tonight. There is one thing you need to do now. Scripture tells us that now is the accepted time. Not when you go to your room tonight, hope to skip curfew or whatever it is some of you do, you know, roaming about at 1 o'clock in the morning. I've heard the stories. That just shows us that there's something not right in your life. It's as simple as that. You may think you're okay, but when you're doing things like that, there's something not right in your life. You need to get right with God. That's why in the previous 3 nights, brothers were up here telling you, pleading with you, to repent. And tonight's the 4th night. Tonight's the night that the lamb is going to be killed and the angel of death is going through Egypt. And there's going to be death in every house in Egypt. But there was a way out, because God had provided a lamb. God had provided a way out. And you've heard about that on Lord's Day evening, you've heard about that on Monday evening, you've heard about that on Tuesday evening, and still you refuse. So you hear about it again tonight. The 4th night, the night in which the whole congregation of Israel had to kill the lamb in order that there would be salvation in the house. The older son, who was outside the house, never came in. The younger son we heard about yesterday, he was in the house. He was saved. But the older son wasn't, because he thought he could do without. We have seen tonight that no one can do without. If you're still outside, I want to ask you, to stay in your seat tonight so we can speak with you, so we can help you, so you can make that decision, so you change your direction. You change from a pathway to hell to a pathway to heaven. Remember the hymns that we have sung. Remember the glory that he has for us. Because this is how Isaiah continues. I don't want to spend more time in explaining those verses. But when we read the last couple of verses of Isaiah chapter 53, and we've done that this morning, we have seen and we've been under the impression how great the blessing is for those who belong to the Lord Jesus. And how great the future is for those who belong to the Lord Jesus, for those who will be in the Father's house. And the Lord Jesus says, I come quickly. You know, maybe you think, I'm healthy, I'm 15, statistics will tell me I will not die in the next 50 years. That might be true. I'm not into statistics. But there is one thing you do not reckon with. That is that promise of the Lord Jesus who said, I will come quickly. And how quickly, quickly is, no one knows. Tomorrow is not a given. If he comes tonight, if he comes today, and you're still outside the house, you will be outside the house forever. That is why our brother Tim suggested last night that we would sing that hymn, Come Home. And we want to sing that hymn again in a moment. That hymn where we sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He is calling you. He is calling you because he knows you're not going in the right direction. We will sing the hymn, then I will close in prayer, and I want to ask everyone who is in the house, who is on his way to the Father's house, to leave. But I would urge that every one of you, whether you are 5, 15, 25, or 50, that doesn't matter, but every one of you who doesn't know that he's on the way to the Father's house, he isn't on the way, he's not on the way to a Christless eternity, to stay behind. We will come and talk with you. And Brother Simon has said, don't pay attention to the one who's sitting next to you. Don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel ashamed. And I'll add to that, don't think yet that you can fool God. You might fool the friends around you, just like the older son did, but you cannot fool God. He knows where you are at. He knows what is going on in your life. So again, I plead, we plead with you. Turn your life around. Turn to the Lord Jesus because he is calling you today. Let's sing that hymn together and then I will close in prayer. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have been thinking again of your work on the cross. We have been thinking again of what you did for us. We've seen again that we are all sinners. And we want to thank you for the many here in this room who have accepted you as their Savior, personally. But we do pray that when you come to take us home, that indeed the room would be empty, that no one would be left behind, because we know that the day of grace is drawing to a close. We know that there is a little time left because you promised us that you would come soon. And you are pleading with those who have thus far rejected you, who thus far thought that they were all right, that they do not need you. And Lord Jesus, we would ask that you would do a work in their hearts tonight, that it would not leave this room until things are set right, until they too are going home, until they too are off the path that leads to damnation and are headed for that eternity with you we've been thinking about, we've been singing of. Lord Jesus, we ask again that you would work mightily through the Spirit in the hearts of those who are still sinners. You know them. You know in which seats they are. And we pray that you would keep them there until things have been resolved, until they have accepted you as their Savior. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for the pathway that you have gone. Thank you that you were willing to come down to this earth where everyone was a sinner. Thank you that you were willing to go to the cross, to suffer God's holy and righteous judgment for us, in order that we would not have to suffer it for all eternity. Oh Jesus, we praise you for who you are, for what you have done, and we ask one more time that you would work in the hearts of those who are still in their sins, that you would work in their hearts and keep them in their sins, so that we can speak with them. Lord Jesus, we ask, we plead that tonight souls would be saved, in order that there would be joy in heaven over a sinner who repents. We commit this to you in your own worthy and precious name. Amen.